Hello. On this podcast, we talk about movies, their faults, their flaws, and their plots. So, expect some spoilers.
You've been warned.
Welcome to Plot Spackle.
I'm John, and my advice in case of a nuclear explosion is to be 30 miles away in a fortified bunker.
I'm Eric, and my advice for surviving a nuclear explosion is to run in a zigzag pattern. Everyone knows that nuclear blasts are great hunters in a straight line, but they falter when their prey is evasive.
Guys, you're both overthinking this. All you have to do is remain perfectly still. Nuclear explosions can't see you if you don't move.
You guys are ridiculous. Next you're going to tell me that you can hide in a fridge to escape an explosion.
No, John, there's an entirely different purpose for fridges.
Anyways, we have a plot. We got plot holes we're going to fill. What are we going to fill them with, guys?
Evil communist soldiers?
Fire ants?
Why not both, as we talk about Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
The unauthorized official sequel.
The unauthorized franchise entry. The official fan fiction by the original creator. Let's get this plot synopsis, Eric.
So, we're talking about a movie that stars the original actor and is directed and produced by the original director and producer. Do you think that's possible? No, it's not. Without some help. Who helped them? Well, I'll tell you. Aliens. Dr. Henry Jones Jr. is an aging professor who still finds time to adventure. When the communists steal secret government secrets, Dr. Jones takes his new sidekick to solve this mystery. I'm not going to ruin the movie and say it was aliens, but it was aliens.
It was aliens.
Well, now they know.
I wasn't going to spoil it, John.
I feel like this movie should have come out on the Sci-Fi Channel. Or the History Channel, even.
If only they had World War II in there.
Instead of being an actual, like, sadly, a blockbuster.
Unfortunately, guys, this is not a summer film that lost boatloads of money. This was a late spring film that made loads of money. It was released on the 22nd of May, 2008, had a budget of $185 million, earned $100 million in its opening weekend, $317 million by the end of its run in the U.S., and currently cumulatively worldwide, $790 million.
I think this just confirmed we are the darkest timeline.
That's okay.
Because in a better timeline, this film wouldn't have been made. And in a slightly better timeline, it would have lost money. So yeah, this movie, though, it has plot holes.
And where are we getting our plot holes from?
From having watched the film.
That's right. We're not relying on anyone. We did our own homework.
We did. Not very much homework, honestly. You just had to watch the movie.
We had two eyes. I guess six.
And we'll get into the first plot hole after I give you a bit of trivia which relates to said plot hole.
Oh yeah, we forgot trivia. That's my bad.
That's okay. Because everybody's first and favorite plot hole is about a fridge and a nuclear explosion. Did you know that the fridge and the nuclear explosion was originally going to be how Doc Brown sent Marty McFly back to the future in the first movie? Spielberg had actually advised him against it, and Zemeckis decided not to use it when it became too expensive, and so we had a crazy action-packed lightning-striking clock tower sequence. But that's okay. Spielberg kept that nuking a fridge in his back pocket.
He's like,
just in case.
Oh, I like that idea. I'm just going to... Don't do this. It's an original idea in my pocket now.
Turns out that while it was definitely a bad idea for Back to the Future, it was also a bad idea for Indiana Jones.
I could see it more like it's a worse idea for Back to the Future because it came out in the 80s and people still had those like locking 50s fridges. Like they were around.
That was one of the biggest concerns with why they decided not to do it. Because they were like, what if kids decide to do some of the stuff we put in this movie? Because we're, you know, we have like a skateboarding sequence and a bunch of stuff. Kids would like this film.
I just imagine what if they
decide to get in the fridge.
Imagine what would have happened if kids had more access to DeLoreans.
Insanity.
They would have, they'd be making deals with terrorists to get...
Libyan terrorists.
Yeah, Libyan terrorists to get radioactive materials.
Listen, John, it is 2015. We have plutonium right down at the corner drugstore. We don't need to make deals with terrorists. This is America. We don't make deals with terrorists. Except when we do.
Any more trivia?
Well, the other bit of trivia was the character Marcus Brody isn't in the film because the actor, Denholm Elliott, ended up dying in 1992. And they decided that it wouldn't be worth, they shouldn't replace him.
Can't recast him.
Despite literally doing the same thing with the Indy's dad character, who somehow became renamed Oxley and definitely wasn't Indy's dad when Sean Connery decided that he wasn't going to come back for this movie and was too busy enjoying retirement.
Wait, but Oxley's not Indy's dad.
No, he's not Indy's dad. But that's the thing.
Oh, but that was, it was going to be.
It was going to be Indy's dad. And that was gonna, and so that's what the Oxley relationship is the way it is with Indiana Jones, and so they just replaced the dad character with Oxley,
with a random other professor.
This other guy,
just random. I mean, that's okay. It was one thing that I really didn't notice about the film or had any complaints about. I'm like, oh, it's a random colleague. We run into those all the time.
Yep, it was going to be his dad. And they were going to have Brody in there, but, well, 16 years is a bit long to resurrect people, and they hadn't yet figured out how to bring people back from the dead like they do with us, like they do in Star Wars nowadays.
Listen, all they had to do was right at the very beginning of the movie say, somehow, Brody returned.
We hadn't perfected that technology until last year.
But at what cost, John? What cost?
All right, well, I think we're ready for those plot holes.
So, let's hit that first plot hole. How does Indy survive a nuclear blast inside of a fridge?
Well, the quick answer is, he didn't.
All right, we've got dead Indiana Jones.
But, we all know that Indiana Jones drank water from the Holy Grail. And that it didn't actually do anything for him at the time. And so I think the water was circulating in his blood, never leaving his body. And he was probably always wondering why he was never really as thirsty as he should have been. Until when he died in the nuclear explosion, the holy water said, it's time. Now's the time. And it brought Indiana Jones back to life.
So... It'll grant him immortality, but not Henry Jones.
Well, it doesn't grant you immortality unless you're constantly drinking it. Like, it'll keep you from dying. But it doesn't stop you from aging. We know that. And I just think that Indy never actually died or had a mortal injury between then and now.
I mean, it makes sense. I'm just thinking,
though, I don't think it makes sense at all.
See, here's what happens. Like, you know,
what if Indy had to go to the bathroom?
Well, it's magic water.
It sticks with you. The holy germs in there.
It would leave your body if going to the bathroom would kill you. And it would keep you from dying that one time.
So when Indiana Jones is being irradiated by the radiation, his blood gets all fizzy because of the healing powers of the holy grave. The Holy Grail. The Holy Grail. So Indy's blood gets all fizzy like... in the Last Crusade movie, and that's how you know it's working.
Definitely didn't. It was definitely a bad CG fizzy blood.
I mean, they could have used the same effect with vinegar and baking soda.
They could have, but they didn't. they used CG.
But that's my thought, is that he had a one get out of death free card in him from drinking the from the Holy Grail. And he used it up then. He didn't have to use it up before then. I mean, they still had to scrub him down from radiation afterwards. But if you notice, it's not a lethal dose of radiation at that point.
Who knows? Maybe the bomb also wasn't... It was a nuclear bomb, obviously, but maybe it wasn't like, hey, we're going to test out the biggest nuclear bomb we have. Let's just see what, I don't know, a not big one does to this town. I don't know how they classify those bombs.
Here's another one for you. They were specifically testing ejector fridges.
So like they have a button somewhere like, okay, the bomb's gone off now, hit it.
Yeah, so they had a fridge and it was set up. And the purpose was is they put fridges in all the houses, but those were all the placebo fridges. Only one fridge had the actual ejector and extra cushioning to protect you because they wanted to see if this would work. And it wouldn't work if, you know, all the fridges got tossed. And he managed to get in the one fridge that was meant to be tossed and make sure that anything inside of it survives. It is top secret government fridge.
All right, I will accept a top secret government fridge.
I'm just going to say it's lined with lead as well.
Well, that'll save you from immediate radiation, but considering how close we are to the blast radius, and also the fact he's in it when it throws him faster than a speeding car, something else is going on.
Listen, tons of layers of lead paint cushion his fall, and I don't know, maybe it's just, it's a good old American quality.
I mean, maybe it's a supernatural fridge, too. I mean, it is an Area 51 where they keep the Ark of the Covenant. Maybe someone was, they were dropping off the fridge in a crate, and it was supposed to go in the warehouse, but someone thought it was the fridge to go in the village.
Mm-hmm.
So it's some sort of cursed fridge or supernatural fridge.
It's the one haunted fridge.
Well, now it definitely is. It has a dead Indiana Jones in there. Or did. I don't know. There's got to be some Final Destination stuff going on. So maybe for the rest of Dr. Jones's life, he's being followed by a fridge.
The ghost of a fridge.
The ghost of Fridgemas past?
So there, three answers. I come up with three answers for you, Richard. Are you happy?
I'm much happier. I'm much happier with that.
You like top secret government fridges?
I like top secret government fridges.
You like fridges that probably cost $1 million to design?
I do.
Then they could just blow up?
Look, I'll be honest, I was waiting for the bit where Indiana Jones got bit by a radioactive fridge and gained fridge powers.
He almost did, but he didn't get his fingers caught when he climbed out of it.
It was going to be in a superhero origin story. It would have been different.
Refrigerator Man?
No, his name would be Frigidaire. Oh, wait, no, that's copyrighted.
Look, he just has the power to keep things cool.
Or keep as cool.
Look, Indiana Jones.
Or be cool.
Always had that power.
How do you know? Ooh, maybe when he was growing up, he did get bitten by a radioactive fridge.
Ooh, and that's, so that's why the radioactive fridge protected him?
Yeah, it's like he senses one of his own kind. Like maybe he's king of the fridges and it was his loyal servant sacrificing itself. He can
talk to the fridges. Oh, this is just more and more ridiculous.
I'm okay with all of these.
And this is so what is the best answer here? Is it that Indiana Jones has refrigerator powers granted to him by his special refrigerator lineage? Top secret government refrigerators. Ongoing Holy Grail extra life bonus, or cursed fridge that was supposed to be in the warehouse and got put in the village instead.
Well, see, I think the one that makes the most sense is the top secret government fridge.
But the one the condo's razor is secret refrigerator lineage.
Is the secret refrigerator lineage passed down.
Must go to the land of refrigerators.
Yep.
Claim his name.
The land of Frigidaire. How about that?
Claim his crown. Maybe he's from...
past the whirlpool. And
he never came into his birthright while his father was still alive.
Yeah. Are you sure it's Frigidaire and not General Electrica?
I'm pretty sure there's...
General Electrica is the one who tried to usurp the kingdom.
Okay.
Let's see, General Electric, that was an Edison company. So that, I mean, that...
That makes sense. That's on theme. It's Edisonian.
And you know what? The songs they'll sing, they'll be the Sam songs.
We now gather and sing the Samsung. Gather my refrigerator warriors.
And then it'll just be a low humming in the middle of the night and you don't know what's going on.
What powers do I have? You can create ice. You can purify water. You can have different climate zones for meats and vegetables.
You have a crisper drawer.
See? See, the movie's better already.
So much... Oh, so silly. So lovely.
All right. So we'll move on from nuking the fridge.
All right. So the next one is magnets. How do they work? In this movie, we have several things that are magnetic. However, they are conveniently so. For instance, at the beginning, the mummy that they're looking for is magnetic enough to pull gunpowder through the air, collect shotgun pellets, but won't move lights until you reveal it, and also doesn't stick to the cars that they're moving around. And then later on, the crystal skull attracts gold and a knife, except for gold's not even magnetic. Seriously, what's going on, guys?
Well, it is a fact in the Indiana Jones universe that the supernatural powers exist. It's not magnetism. It's ghosts. It's ghost powers.
Well, it's because we say it's aliens, but it's not really aliens. It's extra-dimensional beings.
Yeah. But it's aliens.
I'm sorry, but the History Channel is not actually sponsoring us, Eric.
Listen, all we have to do is throw Hitler in here, and then they'll be clamoring at the door.
Hitler can't be in this one. He wasn't in all the other Indiana Jones. He was literally in Last Crusade.
Stalin for this one.
I haven't watched the History Channel in a while. Can we just get the Mythbusters on here? I mean...
They were on the last plot hole.
Hmm. But, yeah, so supernatural laws don't apply to our puny mortal physics.
Yeah. I mean, ancient mummies liked gold. Gold is attracted to it now. Done. Spooky ghosts.
The mummy knows when you want it to be magnetized, and then it's all like, oh, here's my moment to shine.
It has conveniently dramatic powers, much like ghosts.
So we brought up that they're interdimensional beings. Who's to say their dimension's physics doesn't mean that it makes gold attractive? I don't know.
Maybe they just like gold, and it's not actually magnetic. It's gold attractive.
And shotgun bullets?
They like shotguns. Everyone loves shotguns.
Those could have been buckshot, so they would have been made out of steel. So,
and they bent the lights because they wanted a spotlight on it. And if we know anything about these guys, they are dramatic.
Again, convenient dramatic ghost powers.
If those ghost powers, even dead as a mummy, it wants to be seen. It wants you to look at it.
Ghosts did it.
It's not actually a movie about aliens. It's a movie about ghosts.
Yep.
Well, see, they had ghosts in the first one, ghosts in the third one, and...
supernatural magic powers in the second one.
There were no ghosts in the third one. It was just an old guy with immortality juice.
That sounds like a ghost to me.
It's called. No, he's literally not a ghost because he's not dead.
He's undead, if you will.
He's pre-dead.
The same thing, John.
He keeps drinking that holy grail juice. He can get nuked in as many fridges as he wants.
Listen, I know they made a lot of ghosts in that movie. Like, there's all the Nazis and the Turkish guys. Yeah, they just made a lot of ghosts. There's ghosts in the third one.
Look, you're only a ghost if you have unfinished business, and getting killed by Indiana Jones is a Nazi's business.
That's their whole purpose in life?
I thought they were supposed to be collecting supernatural powers for Der Fuhrer.
No, that's what it says on the brochure, but that's not their real job.
Your real job is cannon fodder. Yep, life sucks.
They didn't cover that in Jojo Rabbit.
Probably didn't cover a lot of things. But yeah, so not magnets, it's ghosts. I think that's the official agreed plot hole fixer here.
Yep. All right, and the third and, at this point, final plot hole.
I'll probably think of another in like 20 seconds.
It won't be hard. So the third and final plot hole is, how is Mutt, Indiana Jones's son sidekick, able to fall off of a car, swing on vines to catch up to those speeding cars? Like, they're not going super fast, but they're still going a lot faster than someone swinging on a vine should be.
Hey, if you want to win at Mario Kart, do you follow the road or do you take the shortcuts?
Well, if we're talking about Rainbow Road, I try and pray to stay on that road.
This isn't Rainbow Road, is it?
We don't know that.
This is Jungle Fever Land.
This is about space alien. Well, dimension aliens. There could be a Rainbow Road there.
Ghosts. So the car has to go like wavy and in curves because at that point they don't have the Trailblazer anymore. That's cutting the path for them. So they have to go with established paths because they're cars and it's a jungle. Vines are everywhere. He can take the shorter path. They had to take the long loop. He just went straight.
But you see them actually drive. Like, the cliff face is not in a loop, though. It's straight.
Nah, it's curving.
Turns out, Eric, they were using a fisheye lens the entire time.
Oh, that makes this movie even worse.
It did have that look, didn't it? And also monkeys cheat.
Oh, yeah, the monkeys guided him.
Yeah, the monkeys were what guided Mutt. Because he is actually the son of a monkey, and he is the monkey king who can talk to monkeys.
They're not in China, John. They're not traveling to Tibet? Journey to the West.
This is New World Monkey King. That is Old World Monkey King. Entirely different monkey kings.
But you can't bring up the monkey king. There can't be two monkey kings.
There's two different worlds of monkeys. There's no world sure and old can. World.
But there's only one way to solve it. Let them fight.
I don't know. The
is
old
that Planet of the Apes?
Old world. Let them fight from Godzilla.
Well, no, but monkeys fighting against each other in a warlike fashion. Is that Planet of the... I don't know. I haven't seen the movie.
That was Dragon Ball. Or Dragon Ball Z.
No, that's Journey to the West. Wait, we've
no. got... Journey to the West was Dragon Ball. Dragon Ball Z is just monkeys fighting each other.
Maybe the first season of Dragon
it's
Ball
Z. It's also specifically Dragon Ball Z is monkeys fighting aliens.
So
it is very similar to this movie. That makes a connection there that is making Richard have a sad look on his face.
Coming to a sad realization.
There's no original stories left?
Just this movie was worse than I thought.
Oh, and if you remember, Marion lived in Tibet.
Is she the monkey queen?
She's probably the monkey consort. She's not official in the lineage thing. Mm. Which also means, though, that Mutt has both monkey and refrigerator powers.
Will he be the force to unite the two kingdoms?
Because he's neither cooler nor freezer?
No, he hasn't been cooler. Never mind.
Unless refrigerator powers is a recessive gene and he only got the monkey gene. I think that's more likely.
Maybe it only gets
passed on. You can't have both powers. You have to have only one set.
I think it only gets passed on once your father dies. It's like...
Oh, it's a...
Highlander sort of thing.
While Indy lives.
While Indy lives, Mutt doesn't have refrigerator powers. And Indy didn't really come into the refrigerator powers until his father died.
Mm-hmm. That's why he didn't use any of his refrigerator powers in the earlier films.
So there we go. Monkeys cheat. And Mutt has monkey powers from his monkey lineage.
From the powers that he got from the different space aliens that aren't the aliens that are in this film. Because the aliens in this film are ghosts.
Because ghosts are interdimensional beings. Is everyone else's hair getting all like frizzy and lopsided? Is it just me at this moment?
Look, I need to go and get a bunch more red yarn and make a couple more loops on this board where all the connections are starting to come together.
How long before men in black suits burst through the door?
Well, you see, John, they'll only burst through the door if they know that we're on to them.
And then if they do come in, we just have to stand perfectly still. Their vision's based on movement.
All right, do we have any more plot holes?
Not that we're willing to think hard enough about.
All right. How about Aztec calendar in the spaceship or interdimensional ship at the end when our closest reference was the Mayans? Or was it specifically the Uga?
Yeah, something like... Basically, so everyone think back to your 2012 days, and that symbol that got passed around is like, oh, this is the Mayan calendar, this is the calendar that's going to be... that's showing that the world is supposed to be ending or whatever. Well, that calendar they were showing was actually the Aztec calendar. And, yeah, that didn't... that always kind of made me mad. Because, like, no, that's not the Mayan calendar. This one looks a lot cooler than the Mayan calendar, but besides the point, that is sitting on the floor in the giant dimension ship. So, to solve this plot hole, I'm thinking that they had a... the aliens and the humans exchanged knowledge. The aliens gave them calendar technology, and humans exchanged free labor.
I like that. That's an agreement.
You know, that sounds an awful lot like an agreement that more advanced cultures make with natives all the time. We'll give you calendars, and you can give us labor.
Sounds like historical revisionism. Are you an interdimensional being ghost apologist, Eric? I mean, I'm not surprised if you are.
Look, he's just going really hard for that History Channel sponsorship.
Listen, we could get the big podcasting dollars, tens of dollars, at our fingertips.
Ooh. Awards that only we care about?
It's true. We could get ourselves like Best Original Series or
Best Unoriginal Series?
Podcast that watches shows that nobody wanted to watch.
But so we gave the aliens or ghosts, interdimensional ghosts, labor, and they gave us day planners.
Yes.
And someone carried that day planner technology through the various Mesoamerican civilizations.
Why do you think the calendar's circular? It's a wheel. They can just take it from the place to place. It's their on-the-go calendar.
It is. It is. They just can roll that thing. You can take it with you to work.
And take it home. Do know from the History Channel, humans didn't invent the wheel.
All right. I'm sold. Though, I have a question, guys. We give this calendar as being super accurate, but I'm wondering, is it like 8 years off?
Are you just saying that the end of the world might be 2020 instead of 2012?
I'm just throwing that out there. You know, I'm not going to take any stands on this. I'm not going to, you know, jump on a soapbox and proclaim it totally is, but...
Listen, what's the worst thing that's happened in 2020 besides hurricane force winds in the middle of a landlocked state? Wildfires.
Double hurricanes in the hurricane states?
Yeah, double hurricanes. Locusts. All we need, we don't have a river of blood yet.
Yet. Place your bets on where a river of blood is going to manifest, guys.
I mean, we did have the zombie pigs already, so...
Wait, what? I've not heard about this.
Oh, you haven't heard about the zombie pigs?
No. No, yeah. That's just horrible.
There was a team of scientists that was all about, like, reviving pigs from brain death.
And they succeeded.
Yeah. Zombie pigs. There's, August, man. That was...
There's, like, literal, like, an entire genre of movies on why that is a bad idea. Scientists, when will you learn? Stop asking questions. Accept the status quo.
You're supposed to not peer into the secrets of the universe because those secrets peer back. And next thing you know, you have top secret government fridges.
It's true.
Or you encounter interdimensional ghosts that are not aliens.
Or you suddenly develop monkey powers from your Tibetan grandfather.
All I'm just going to say is I'm going to quote a line from Thor Ragnarok. Piss off, ghosts. That's what I thought about this movie. How about that?
All right. Do we have any more plot holes real quick? Or are we going to get into the real beatdown on this movie?
Let's kick a fridge while it's down.
And is that line from Thor Ragnarok Or is that from the New Zealand and don't drink and drive commercial?
Kick a fridge while it's down?
No. Or piss off, ghost.
No, that...
You know, I can't... You can't.
Piss off, ghost. Those are my chips. Have you not seen that one either?
I have not seen that one.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, we'll have to watch that after. But first, we're going to talk about...
We'll link it in the
comments. Why we don't like Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
So, first off, did you guys see this when it first came out?
Yes.
Yep.
I did too, so...
I think I actually was, if not opening... It wasn't opening day.
I think we were part opening, of the opening weekend, though.
Opening weekend.
I think I saw it within the first week. I don't want to say weekend, but within one or two.
So we were all excited for the idea.
Yeah, Indiana Jones was a cool trilogy. It would have been super cool if they'd made a super cool trilogy sequel that was super cool. It did not happen.
Unfortunately not. So what are your guys' big problems with... this movie?
It doesn't feel 100% Indiana Jones. It almost feels like a parody. Like, because Indiana Jones always had a bit of campiness, and I feel like this, like, steps over the line.
Well, so Indiana Jones has always been based off the noir books, and...
And also pulp.
Yeah, pulp fiction noir books, and they obviously... It's set in the future. Well, quote unquote future. It's past the point of like when Nazis were the big thing. So, okay, what's the next big thing? The communists and whatnot. So I can see where they came with that. But I think this movie is more if someone had heard of Indiana Jones and thought, oh, this is what this entire movie is about. Let's crank that up to 11 because that's what people love about this character.
And then let's see, there's bad CGI.
Bad action pieces as well.
And really long action pieces, too. I feel like pretty much any action sequence in this movie would have been maybe 5 minutes shorter in one of the older and more compact and just tight. Like, this one had all right ideas. Like, doing a sword fight between two Jeeps racing each other in a jungle. That's a cool idea.
Also, I do have to give Cate Blanchett props for that. Because she was pregnant at the time they were filming that scene.
I won't give her props for her Russian accent.
You don't have to there.
And then there's other just like little things that bother me for like compared to other Indiana Jones. For instance, in the older Indiana Jones, the supernatural powers are always within the realm of the belief system of that group. Except for the whole Mesoamericans worshipped aliens. That's not a belief that the Mesoamericans... They weren't thinking, oh, our gods are aliens. They were like, no, they're our gods. That's a outside thought compared, you know, like the India is, they have holy artifacts that are magical as they believe in a Temple of Doom. And then both the Ark of the Covenant and the Holy Grail are magical items with supernatural powers.
See, and there's the bit where I think what would have been a good change for the film. Because, like, I'm okay with the... Because this is the time for Roswell and the alien scare and everything. It would, like, that's a good tie-in for it. But I feel that it should have been all of the, like, the Russians and the government and people going after it. Because it's definitely going to be aliens and it's going to have alien powers. And Indy, as the person going, guys... Have you studied the Mesoamericans and what their gods believe in? We don't want any of this. And have it be the Mesoamerican gods.
And their artifacts have these powers.
And their artifacts have these powers. And it should have tied back into the supernatural that way while everybody else was fighting over aliens.
I also kind of felt that the Russians were overused in the story. So the Russians are the main antagonists in the very beginning of the movie, and they continue to be the main antagonists throughout the entire movie. And John, before we started recording, you were telling me that an Indiana Jones movie should be broken up into two adventures. You have your original or
your mini adventure
and then your main adventure, whereas the mini adventure is kind of like a synopsis for your main adventure.
Yeah, it has a lot of similar themes and story beats. but there's always a difference there. I might lead and have references to things that might happen in the main story, but isn't the same antagonists, same general goal. Like, the entire general cast, like, the only people who change from part A mini-adventure in this one to part B mini-adventure is we gain Mutt, Marion, and Oxley.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you think about in Last Crusade, the first adventure has, like, almost nothing to do with the Last Crusade main adventure, except for it introduces Indy's relationship with his father. And his belief that things should be in museums and what he's willing to do to get them in museums.
And a fun callback for snakes.
Yeah. About why he hates snakes.
Mm-hmm.
And in the first Indiana Jones, like, the only tie-in is the Belloc character, in that he is willing to steal from Indiana Jones to take the credit, which he ends up doing later in the movie.
But there are lots of parallels within there still. Because Belloc has more help, as he has the natives in the jungle and the Nazis later. Indy doesn't speak foreign languages and has to get help with that, which causes him problems throughout the film.
And also, when his aide steals from him and ends up getting himself killed through a trap he should have known about, kind of relates how Belloc dies at the end of the movie, when he should have known not to open the Ark, as he is not a member of the priesthood.
So yeah, I'm just going to go back to the fourth Indiana Jones just seems like someone read what Indiana Jones does and thought, let's just throw all these set pieces in, but didn't put together the Indiana Jones roadmap.
Or it was the original creators who looked back with nostalgia on the things that they liked about the other films and went, what if we did all these things and we got that film?
We got the unrestrained creator.
Because that worked super well for George Lucas with the trilogy, right? Or the prequel trilogy.
I mean, just ask him. It had already happened. No blowback there.
Maybe they thought that Steven Spielberg could rein him in.
I think Spielberg was just worn down at that point, actually. He might have been phoning it in on this movie.
And I don't actually know how much Spielberg was involved in this. He might have been an executive producer, but left the day-to-day stuff to normal producers.
I mean, we do have his reaction to when Shia LaBeouf said that he didn't like how the film turned out. And he got very angry and told Shia LaBeouf that he should not have said it. And that, I don't remember like what the exact quote was, but there it was something about how there's a time to be real and a time to sell things.
That is a very true quote, though. I mean, wait until after you've made $700 million to say, oh yeah, we really didn't enjoy what we came up with, but thanks for your money.
So what would you guys have changed in the fourth Indiana Jones movie?
Well, I already gave mine with having the governments being after aliens and Indy being about the supernatural powers that what it's already about.
Yeah. First thing I would change, if possible, would have been it to come out shortly after the other Indiana Jones, while still in the Indiana Jones themes, and they'd stick with their practical effects and using those limitations to reel in their what we should do, because that forces you to be creative. And that makes for really cool actual set pieces if you have to figure out how you're actually going to film the sequence and say to yourself, we can't do that. We have to cut it in. So you're like, well, how can we still make this exciting? And then you end up doing stuff like in Terminator 2 where you actually fly a helicopter under underpasses.
So for me, I totally agree. They should have used more practical effects. I'm trying to think. This was like when 3D effects were starting to get really good or more convincing, but it's still, there was still that little uncanny valley.
Uncanny valley filled with uncanny prairie dogs.
Yeah, exactly. But for me, I would have not had the Russians be the main antagonist the entire time. At the beginning of the movie, I probably would have had Indy being antagonized by, I don't know, like a Men in Black sort of secret government organization.
See, I would have stuck with the Russians as the antagonist during the mini adventure, but then communism was just a red herring.
Communism is, well, of course it's a red herring. It's communism.
So you would have Russians at all, or would Russians be the main antagonist for the film?
The Russians would be the main antagonist because they're going to be the Nazi equivalent.
Yeah.
But with the alien histories, they always talk about, or the alien stories or whatever, not histories, but they talk about the secret shadowy Men in Black characters that are following the people who say they've been abducted. Maybe we have those type of characters following Indiana Jones, and, or it just leads into an adventure where Indiana Jones is dealing with those characters. That allows it to set up the alien plot point, but then we're not dealing with Russians the entire time.
See, I kind of like Richard's concept too. Like, also in the mini adventure, they could go to Area 51 and then go through all the stuff only to open the crate and find out it's literally like a weather balloon that exploded. Because then the mini adventure would theme the main adventure. Like, you're still like, oh, aliens might still exist. And it's like, nope, there were never aliens. That's not the story here. It's supernatural stuff in Indiana Jones land.
To bring it back to a while ago, isn't Indiana Jones always the skeptic turned believer in his stories?
He's a person who doesn't believe until the evidence is in his eyes, but he's always enough to say right before it's important, we should believe this.
So Raiders of the Lost Ark, like, he knows about the Ark of the Covenant and everything, but he's not, like, he doesn't believe.
And he doesn't believe up until that point, and then he's willing to say, I can neither
confirm nor deny, but...
But I'd rather close my eyes and live than open my eyes and die if I'm wrong.
I'll take a leap of faith. How about that?
Yeah.
And the same thing with Temple of Doom, Last Crusade. Indiana Jones doesn't really take that leap of faith. It's always thrust upon him. Like when Cate Blanchett's character forces him to look into the eyes of the Crystal Skull, he did not make that choice. It was forced upon him. So that's another reason I think, I guess to tie that back in, it's another failing as an Indiana Jones movie in my book.
Yeah.
But like we said, this is just kind of bad official fan fiction.
Bad official fan fiction. It's the worst kind. There is another Indiana Jones coming out soon enough. I believe they are doing another Indiana Jones.
Yeah, I've heard that too. I haven't heard a name of it or anything, but...
It's filled with rumors.
I think Harrison Ford has confirmed that it is, like, not, if not done, they've... Let me...
While you look that up, there was an early version of the film where instead of having a son, there was the daughter, so that it lined up with the Indiana Jones TV show they had for a while.
Oh, the young Indiana Jones?
Mm-hmm. Where they had the cuts to the present-day old Indy, and Indy had a daughter in the TV series.
Ah. So instead of having Indiana Jones, we should have had...
It'd still be Indiana. I think that's a girl's name.
I'm trying to decide if there's a better state name for a girl.
Mississippi Jones?
Mississippi Jones.
Or I guess Ippy. She's not married, so she's
Missy. She's Missy Jones.
Or Wyoming.
Well, Wyoming's not a real place.
No, you're thinking of North Dakota.
Ah, they all... As we say from Utah, It's all just blurs together.
It's all just a long car ride. That's all it is. All just a long car ride.
So according to Google, Indiana Jones 5 is coming out 2022. So we have, if we survive, 2 more years.
We'll see. We'll see if that one can save the Indiana Jones sequels, or if in somewhere in there they went and somehow Belloc survived.
I mean, how much money did Rise of Skywalker make? Billions? At least.
Turns out Belloc had himself a secret cult of Nazis that brought him back to life.
I think you're thinking too hard about this. Belloc is an interdimensional ghost.
No, I'm sold.
I'm liking that Nazi zombie
Nazi
thing.
Cult. You just want Nazi zombies.
Well, we don't want Nazi zombies, but if it's an obstacle we have to overcome.
It could happen, John. They went, like, that's a thing that somebody would make a movie about.
Yes. Yes, it is something people have made movies about.
Oh, yeah, I need to watch. What's that movie called? The Swedish
Dead
one?
Dead Snow.
Dead Snow. I need to watch that one.
But, I mean, what do you think, listeners? Would you rather have refrigerator powers or monkey powers? Well, let us know on Facebook, on the post of this video. I mean, what's your favorite? Also, leave a like. We like it when people like us.
Or, if you want to be angry all the time, you can let us know on Twitter in 280 characters or less why the refrigerator power is the true superior power. Yeah, just let us know. Hashtag refrigerator king, baby.
Or, if you've listened to this and went, I could write better fan fiction than those hacks, you can send it to us at plotspacklepodcast@gmail.com. I will read it. I will read the whole thing. I might even read it out loud for patrons. Speaking of which, we love you, patrons.
Yeah, shout out to you guys. You are better. You're like the original trilogy.
The OG?
The OG trilogy of Indiana Jones to us. You're on the same level. There's a scale, balances, and says no difference.
You might have made it past those Egyptian gods that weigh your heart against a box set of the original Indiana Jones trilogy.
The VHS box set?
I'm pretty certain that's what the Egyptian gods use.
I think...
No, it said they used the feather, so...
That was a mistranslation. If you read it in the original Greek...
But I thought it... Egyptian. But then again, Alexander the Great was Greek, and so was Cleopatra. And Cleopatra is...